In the studio today, I have Matt Fitzgerald. Evening, Matt, how are you?
Hi, Shane, how are you?
So I was mentioning earlier on that you were a local guard from 2003 to 2012, and previous to that you were in Limerick and a few other places.
I was. I joined on Garrison Con in 1982, and I was stationed in Dublin for 3 years, and transferred. Typically, I applied for transfer to Cork, and they sent me to Limerick.
Okay.
And I was there, which would be typical. And I stayed in Limerick for 17 years.
Okay.
And I transferred then to Middleton Station in 2003, but asked to be based in Yall.
Okay.
So I was here then in Yall until I retired in December 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah. We were just actually, before we get started, we were just talking off air there about that young man in
Killa. That's right. I'd just like to start by saying that our thoughts and prayers are with the Carnley family from Killa, whose son Shane was injured in that horrific drone attack in the Lebanon. We hope that he makes a full recovery.
Yeah.
This is just unbelievable, you know, how quickly things can change.
Yeah, and, you know, and still that the Lebanon is still something that we're talking about, you know, 30 years later, you know.
30 years later, we're still talking about it,
we still have people out there, you know.
Still have people there, so
yeah.
Hopefully Shane will pull through, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose you're not here to talk about being a guard for so long.
Anyway.
You're on today to talk about your cancer.
Yes, Shane, about the battle that I've had the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So it's just been a complete and total roller coaster, you know.
Yeah.
And
people will probably notice on the show here that there's a slight lisp in your voice, like, you know, as well.
There
like,
is,
you know.
My voice kind of hums and goes, you know. I've had a lot of surgery, and sometimes it's not there at all.
Right.
It's not too bad now today.
Okay.
But I find that if I speak for maybe 15, 20 minutes, what's left of my jaw gets very sore.
Right, yeah.
You know, I just have to stop talking, but
yeah.
Most of the people around me kind of understand now, and you know, that I'm not pushed too much.
Okay. Well, it's a good way to actually stay quiet then.
I've always enjoyed silence, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good.
So, yeah.
So you were diagnosed in May 2020.
I was, Shane, yes.
And that was a tumour behind your back teeth, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It's just a bolt out of the blue. I thought I had a little mouth ulcer. It was at the back of my last tooth on the left-hand side. Now, I couldn't really see it, but I could feel that it was becoming tender. And, of course, I was rinsing out with salty water and putting band gel on it. But that was going on for a few weeks until Emma, my eldest daughter, she was home from New York at the time. She was living and working in New York. And she was at home because of the pandemic. And she asked me, what was I doing one day, so I told her. And she switched on the light on her phone, and she had a look, and she said, no, that's not a mouth ulcer. So, cut a long story short, the following day I was with the dentist in Middleton. The following day after that, I was in the dental hospital in Cork. And it just snowballed from there. Within a few weeks, I found myself in the South Infirmary, having surgery in the middle of the first lockdown.
Wow.
You know, it happened so quickly. They took a biopsy. And a week later, they told me that I had a very aggressive form of cancer. Mm. And it was beneath my jawbone. And that was a very hard place to get to. And that would require fairly massive surgery. So, yeah. So I've been up and down since, really, but
And people listening might actually be saying, you know, I mean, one of the big things about this was you never drank or smoked in your life.
No, that was the funny thing. They couldn't understand it when they were looking at my background, you know.
Yeah.
I never drank, never smoked, and I kept myself reasonably fit.
Yeah.
And my diet would have been good.
Yeah.
And they said, normally they see this type of cancer with smokers.
Mm.
But in fact, the type of cancer I had, they said they didn't see it all too often.
It's rare enough.
It was rare enough. Yeah. I can't give the medical term of it now, but there was no time for chemotherapy or anything.
Yeah.
one of the team, a professor up there, suggested that I might go for chemotherapy first to reduce the tumour down. But the rest of the team said no, that there isn't any time.
Okay.
So it just kicked off from there, really.
So it spread very quickly then, really?
Well, it was contained at that stage. It hadn't gone to my nose or my glands. Now, they were all subsequently removed from my chest and my back and down my neck. And what they did was, during that surgery, they took a bone out of my arm and they transplanted it up into my jaw and they held it in with a plate. And I was in for 7 weeks that time. And they left me home pending the start of radiotherapy, but unfortunately I had a massive bleed. And I was kind of lucky on the day that I was in it. The GP, Mark Buckley, was on the scene very quickly. And Mark Walsh, he's an advanced paramedic here in Leal, he came out. And the bleed stopped. And I was brought by ambulance back into the South Infirmary. And I was in there for a while then. And they carried out a few more surgeries. They found that a blood vessel had deteriorated and it had bled. So I thought it's fortunate that there really, because I bled quite a lot. But Dr. Buckley and Mark were able to set up an infusion for me outside, and that kind of helped. So, yeah.
So you've had 8 surgeries?
I've had 8 surgeries in total, yes. Unfortunately, the bone from my arm didn't work.
Okay.
It had died and the plate got contaminated, so that had to be removed. And when that was removed, then the radiotherapy, it did its job cancer-wise, but it damaged my jawbone. So bit by bit, they have been removed from my jawbone. So at present, it's all gone from one side on the bottom to the midway point. And so is most of my tongue and all my back teeth on both sides, because my mouth opening is so small now, Shen. If I needed any dental work, they wouldn't be able to do it. So, yeah, it's been
And I suppose if anybody who knows you from and hasn't seen you in a few years, they probably wouldn't really recognise you at the moment, I'd say, would they?
They would.
They'd have an idea. You know,
they would.
But your face has really, you know, changed so much.
It has, your lower part. It has, the lower part has changed. Yeah. My jaw, my chin has swung around and... Yeah, it's, and my neck, I lost a lot of flesh from my neck.
Yeah.
I always had a thin neck anyway.
Okay,
nobody could ever say I was thick necked.
Yeah.
But they removed quite a lot of flesh from my neck as a precaution.
Yeah, and so, you were saying as well that you haven't eaten.
I had a few leaks, yeah.
Yeah, but you haven't eaten, actually, physically.
I haven't eaten now for 14 months.
Wow.
I'm fed through a tube, a peg feed. Okay. In my tummy. And prior to that, I was fed through my nose.
Right.
But now I'm fed through my tummy. But, yeah, I'm managing that fine. And it's working quite well, actually.
Well, I mean, you're still functioning. You're still,
functioning,
you're still able to carry on within reason with your life.
I'm managing the way. You know, that's not a big deal.
But I mean, I suppose a lot of people listening couldn't imagine actually not using their mouth to eat, like, you know what I mean?
Well,
you know,
that's it, nothing to drink.
And no sensations of food, like, and stuff like that. Like,
no.
It must be, you know, just, I presume you probably accepted it now it's been so long, but even at the start it must have been...
It was at the start,
yeah.
Actually, it's a problem now at the moment watching TV, you know, you've ordered Christmas ads on...
those food,
There's chocolate truffles and there's no have been filed around of this.
Oh, yeah.
I will have a sweet tooth.
And you more likely will have another Christmas day this year without having it. I know you have an appointment next week, like, but it's no, more likely won't be done before Christmas anyhow.
No, it'll be my third Christmas now without actually tasting food.
Yeah,
without eating, really, yeah.
But it must have totally upset your family and, you know, your wife and your kids and everything. It changed everything, really, didn't it?
It did change. It did. In the beginning, it did. Yeah, it was, as I say, both out of the blue. But once we kind of become to accept it then, and you kind of think, well, look, it could be worse, maybe. You know, I'm still here.
So. You are, yeah.
So that's kind of the way I look at it now, just get on with it, you know. So.
And what do you think the key lessons you found, you've learned about yourself through this ordeal?
Oh, well, I don't know, I was a great fellow for the community council out in Tilla. I was involved in that and the GA and the church.
Yeah.
I just made more time for myself, no shame, to be honest.
And I mean, I was talking as well just beforehand about being grateful and noticing the smaller things in life to be that you might have taken for granted before, you know?
Yeah, well, it's just making more time for myself now and some of the things I did take for granted, you know? I'm spending more time now, maybe at home. Well, I don't travel now because of the way I'm fed.
Mm-hmm.
But,
And you were a big motorcycle enthusiast.
Yeah, I restore old motorcycles. I have a few of them. And it's important to have something. One of the things I was saying to our fair was something to get up for in the morning. Mm. I keep a few dogs. I always kept spaniels, hunting dogs.
Mm.
And you have to get up in the morning to go up and see them out and take them out and what have you, you know. And if I didn't have that, I think things would be a lot different.
Yeah.
You know, I probably would find myself staying in bed a lot more.
Yeah.
And it could very easily slip down the slippery slope.
Yeah, and you probably had a few bad days and a few bad weeks where you were...
Some days you wake up and you think, why me?
Yeah.
You know, you're feeding yourself through the tube and, you know, you hear that some of the lads are heading off somewhere and their bikes or whatever, and you can't go.
And I mean, you would have lived, you know, a good life, never drank, never smoked, been involved with the guards, involved with the GA, involved with a lot of the local communities, and constantly giving and everything. And then this happens to you,
This happens, and you're kind of thinking, you know, what's this about?
Yeah. What's the lesson here?
What's the lesson here? Yeah, actually, I would have been a big fan of Muhammad Ali.
Right.
Cassius Clay. When we were growing up, you know, with the boxing was on, like, you know, everybody sat down and watched us. But Muhammad Ali said that the service you give to others in this life, you know, will give you the key to the heavens in later life. But you'll be wondering, like, you know.
Well, you're still young, you're only 60, like.
I got involved in so much, and, you know, and then this happens, you think to yourself, Jesus, like, what was all that for?
Mm.
You know, so, yeah, I'll go back doing what I did. I will go back doing, please God.
Yeah.
You know, but at the moment, I'm just making time for myself.
Yeah, and your family. You know?
Yeah, and of course my family. Yeah. When I say myself,
yeah, I mean your family.
Evelyn and the two girls as well, you know.
Yeah.
Just making a bit more time.
Yeah, and they've been and they've been great for you, like, they've been great support and stuff like that.
Yeah, you need support.
You do, you do.
Well, most people will have family support in the situation I find myself in. Other people have found themselves in that situation, they probably have with the family support. But apart from the family support, you need professional support as well.
Yeah.
And you do need somebody outside the circle, the family circle, to speak to and to bounce in off of. Now, if you ask me, 5 years ago, would that ever be the case in my life? I would have said no.
Yeah.
Because I've been at the scene of murders and mayhem.
Mm.
I've seen everything, you know, and you just go back, you know, home and into bed and get up the following morning and sit back doing the same thing you've done.
Yeah. Because what you see as a guard compared to what we see, like, I mean, is it totally different?
I've seen some dreadful things, actually, all my time.
Yeah.
But...
And you just sucked it up and you didn't talk about it.
You know, you never speak about it. You know, you just, it's kind of roundabout that you jump up and then everybody else is on it and you go round and round and you don't see anything but the roundabout and the people on it. And, you know, so when you later in life and you think back at some of the things maybe, and that's one of the things when I was in the hospital, you know, I often sat there thinking of the things, you know, that.
That happened.
That happened. You know, what was that about, you know?
Yeah.
How did I get through that?
Yeah.
But you do.
Yeah.
You know, but this time around, it's different, you know.
Yeah.
I needed help. And luckily enough, somebody suggested the support here in Leol.
Yeah.
And I came to you and I got it.
You did, yeah.
So and I was lucky and I'm happy to be in here.
And that's the service we do offer in the Yale Cancer Support Centre, yes. You know, and it wasn't just for you, it was for your family as well, like,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly, just for my family as well.
Yeah.
You know, to try and help out. As I say, you can do so much within the family, but it's important to have something outside of us as well, you know.
And that's the message I try to get across with the Cancer Support Centre, like, because, you know, you as a person who is struggling with cancer, there's a lot of things that are going on in your head that you don't want to talk to your wife about or don't want to talk to your children about.
Yeah,
and
correct.
It's good to come and actually talk about it and get it off your chest, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
That's as important.
Yeah.
As I say, some days you think, why me? And more days than you think, Christ, aren't I so lucky?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it is a roller coaster.
So as you said, you get about 15 to 20 minutes to talk. So we're probably thereabouts on it.
Yeah, just to say to anyone going through it, like, just stay positive, you know.
And find something to get up out of bed for.
Find something and just remember that it's just another phase.
Yeah.
You know, in life, that it's all phases, really. Yeah. You know, all my life has been phases. You know, different phases. And this is just another one.
Yeah.
And just stay positive. And my favourite song is Tears for Fears.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
Okay.
And the last line of that is, nothing ever lasts forever.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. We just have to think and say to ourselves, this isn't going to last.
Yeah.
You know, I will beat this. I'll get through it.
Yeah.
And you will.
And Matt, you're a very brave man to come on and share this story with people, and hopefully this message gets out to people who are struggling and who are going through what they're going through at the moment, and that they can, you know, that they can get through it, you know.
They can get through it, yeah. With help.
Yeah, with help.
If they need help, ask for it. You know, we were kind of rare, you know, you didn't bother the GP or you didn't bother the priest or don't deny them, you know, but help is out there, go and get it.
Okay.
You know.
Thanks very much, Matt.